CliffCentral.com.
So let's turn our attention to Mark Wade, who actually collects interesting things, not like Sia. So Mark collects bayonets, and a lot of people don't even know what a bayonet is, but they date back to about the 17th century, and it's a knife, a dagger, a sword, or a spike-shaped weapon that you actually attach to the end of a rifle. And they used to issue these as a standard issue to armed military outfits in almost every country in the world for a couple of hundred years. But it's a very curious thing to collect. And Mark is with us now. So first of all, let's say hi. Hey, Mark, how are you doing, man? Nice to have you on the show.
Oh, pleasure being here.
Yeah.
Good morning.
Hey, man. Listen, this is such an interesting thing to collect, and I see some of them on the wall behind you. Those look amazing. How many are we onto at the moment? How many of these bayonets have you got?
I have about 100. The gaps you see are in the display are what's stuck in the post office.
Oh, God.
I've been waiting for what?
Oh, that's irritating.
You wait for about 6 months to a year.
Oh, man. You know, I also, I obviously collect a bunch of different things. And one of the things I collect is chemical elements on the periodic table. I can't tell you how many times I have things just go missing. They're just gone. And it's because of the post office, which they keep telling us we've got to use. You know, they're so good and they're so trustworthy. They're really not. And for you, this must be so frustrating, because you've spent a lot of money collecting these things, and now they're sitting in the post office. And God alone knows if you're ever going to get them, right?
Correct. Correct. Normally, to import from Canada, for example, it takes 4 days from Canada to our Tambo, and anywhere between 6 months and 12 months to get to the post office.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's you say 100 that you've got there, but you've actually trimmed your collection right down, because you've decided that 100 is probably about the right amount. And you can't collect forever, and you can't have a million things in your house, right?
Very true. So you get two types of collectors. You get the collector that buys any bayonet he likes, or you get the collector who focuses. I focus on Great Britain, 1888 to 1948. So just that 50-year period of bayonets.
All right, so 1888 to 1948, we've got roughly, the end of the Crimean War. We've got Anglo-Boer War I, or the South African War I, II. We've got World War I and we've got World War II, or have I missed something out?
Correct. You've got the Second World War, First World War, Second World War.
Okay, very
good. So it's a good
nice
period of history to look at.
All right, and what kinds of you know, bayonets are we looking at here? Are these all short little swords like this? I mean, show us some of those that you're particularly proud of, and which ones are the rarest, and which ones are the ones that are most accessible?
Okay, so generally, if you look at that collection, at the top left, you're starting with the 1888.
Wow.
On the far right, you're looking at the spike bayonet. The spike bayonet's the cheapest and the easiest to find. You're looking at about 400 grand for a bayonet. On the top left, you're looking at an 1888 three-rivet, extremely rare bayonet. The most expensive you'd find in this specific collection.
Some of them have like a leather kind of holder on them, almost like a protective pouch. What's that?
The scabbard.
Okay.
It keeps it safe from the elements. Now, you asked my most valuable. So value is specific to the collector. It doesn't have to be financially valuable. Mm. It could be valuable to you
right,
for whatever reason.
If you really wanted it, you would pay whatever it took. If you really, you know, there was one piece that you were missing from your collection, there's probably any price that you could reasonably pay that you would pay to complete the collection.
Very, very true.
Yeah.
For example, this is a King's African Rifles bayonet used by the colonial forces. It's a hooked quiller. They're extremely rare. You're looking at about 15,000 to 25,000.
Sure.
To me, it's worth that money. The next person's going to look at it and go, oh, it's a knife.
Yeah.
It's worth $100.
Sure.
I've seen you at arms fairs buying Japanese katanas.
Yeah. No.
You know what the weaponries were.
We've probably met before. So yeah, I mean, I do have swords, and that's just another one of my kinds of collections. But yeah, you know, it's to me, this is such interesting stuff because it's a topic of conversation. It makes your house interesting. It's a little obsessive for some people. I mean, they spend a huge amount of money and probably more time than they do on their kids or their families or whatever else it is. But to me, it's really interesting. And to collect something like bayonets, do you often think that you should collect the rifles as well? Or do you have some of those? Or do you, because you can't expand your collection forever. I mean, you're buying the rifles, then you're buying ammo, then you're buying, you know, bags for the rifles or whatever else it is. It can go in any direction.
Well, the benefit of a bayonet, you walk into a shop, you see it, you buy it, you take it home. If you're collecting a rifle, you need to apply for the permit, the license.
Yeah.
The license needs to be renewed every 5 years or 10 years. So rifles are problematic. You do have some of the big boy collectors like Tal Katz, who has 800 rifles with 800 bayonets attached to them. He has a staggeringly huge, amazing collection, but he goes through the effort.
Yeah.
I'm too lazy.
Well, no, I don't think you're lazy at all looking at what you got there behind you on the wall. How do your family and friends feel about this? Do they support you with your collecting or do they think you're a lunatic?
Okay, the trick is to choose only friends who collect. The thing with collecting, a lot of people mistake collecting a historical artifact as glorifying a specific period of history. So, for example, if you collect a German bayonet dated to World War II, it doesn't mean you're a Nazi supporter.
No, of course.
Now, your collections, the way you display, needs to reflect a historical perspective and not a glorification of war or political ideology. And as long as you stick to that, your parents and family and friends should support you on it.
Yeah, I mean, I see these shows where people are using like metal detectors to go over old battlefields in Europe, and they try to find things. And if they find something that's got like a Nazi emblem on it, that doesn't mean that they're suddenly a Nazi supporter or that they think, you know, that that's particularly glorious. They're collecting artifacts, and these, you know, just because a museum displays something doesn't mean it supports that idea.
Correct. Very, very correct. I have some paraphernalia which I would never put on my wall because it may offend someone.
Yeah.
I see it from a historical perspective. I have a beautiful history collection, but you always risk the offending a visitor or a person who visits your house randomly.
Yeah.
So you leave it off the wall, and then it's purely for your own enjoyment.
Well, I mean, these days, even, you know, displaying certain flags can get you branded as a hate speech advocate, you know, so you've got to be extremely careful about some of this stuff. Obviously, for many people, that's ridiculous. They are just collecting and displaying stuff that interests them. But obviously, some people don't have the broad understanding that this is not an endorsement of those ideas. Tell me quickly, because you started collecting, obviously, at a young age, when did you develop the interest in bayonets and how long has that been going?
Probably from one of the last generation who served in South African Defence Force.
Mm-hmm.
And you were issued a bayonet in 1992. And that was my first bayonet. And then from there, I moved on to swords. And from there, I moved on to bayonets.
Did you have to give back the one that you were issued or have you got it?
I have it.
Oh, nice. Yeah, because sometimes these...
But now you mentioned...
Yeah.
Sorry.
No, go ahead.
You mentioned a flag.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, a flag. I lowered the last flag before the democratic elections at Home Affairs. I have that flag in storage. I can never display it because people will be offended by it because they assume I glorify a relic of the past, which is not the case.
But you've got the actual one that was flying at Home Affairs.
Correct.
Oh, wow.
Well, there were many Home Affairs departments, but I have the original one.
That's very cool. So it must be a fairly large one because they have different sizes of flags as well.
Yes, it's a big one.
Oh, that's so cool, man. Damn, I think this is amazing. All right, so you've got 100 bayonets that range between 1888 and 1948. and you've got this great display behind you. Where do you go? Because people don't know. I've been to a few of these things. You obviously know them a lot better than me. But there are arms fairs that they have, you know, kind of annually or twice a year or whatever in different parts of South Africa. And then people bring their stuff out. Do you sell as well or do you just buy?
I tend to buy and swap.
Okay. All right.
So a lot of the rare things that I find, for example, a few months ago, I found an African core artifact, and I donated to the British Museum. They never had one. You ship it off, it'll appear in a book, and there'll be a little name tag saying donated by Mark Wade. Nice. A lot of collecting is about sharing the enjoyment of collecting.
Yeah, you don't want to just keep it for yourself. You like to
exactly.
Share it. Yeah. Absolutely. All right. So this is, of course, part of our series on collectomania. And Mark is a great example of this. He and so many of our other collectors that we've spoken to collect all these fascinating things. And we continue our weekly dose of collectomania talking to compulsive collectors. It's all brought to you by the South African Gold Coin Exchange and the Scoin Shop, where, just by the way, you can get some pretty amazing coins, which are also very collectible, and they're also great investments. So you might want to check that out too at the Scoin Shop, S-C-O-I-N, and you can find out more about the South African Gold Coin Exchange by going to cliffcentral.com. Mark, it's a great pleasure to speak to you. Keep collecting. I love this stuff, and I love the fact that you've also given some of your bayonets to museums. I think that's amazing. I should think about that next time I want to clear out some space. Maybe I should do the same thing.
Good idea.
Yeah. No, very, very nice to see you. Thank you so much. There's Mark Wade. That is Collectomania, which is brought to you by the Scoin Shop and the South African Gold Coin Exchange. How awesome is that?
Very cool.
Yeah.
Look, I don't know if Mark has any kids or not, but I would hate to date one of his kids.
Yeah.
Because you invited into his study and he says, "What is your intention with my daughter?" And there's just tons of bayonets
exactly.
In the background.
Yeah, you're not going to mess
That's
around.
That's all I was thinking. Right. I thought, want to stay away from that.
No. So cool. Leanne, we can't hear you.
When I was young, there was some, I don't know who started it. I think it was my aunt, my dad's youngest sister.
Mm-hmm.
Because her and I were only 10 years apart. So, you know, when I was in my mid-teens, when I was 15, she was 25. So we'd go out together. And she made a joke to any prospective guy that my dad had a collection of shotguns. Now, if you've met my dad, he's totally not that person. he knows his way around on a bicycle, but that's about it. It was always, and the rumor spread about Leanne's dad and his shotgun collection.
Deborah says that she really enjoyed when we had Jen Sue on with her hats, and she thought that was cool. She loves perfumes, so she has a collection of those. Deborah collects perfumes.
Ooh.
Yeah. I remember I used to get free, like, colognes whenever they'd bring out something new. They'd send, not always, but they'd send me some. And at some point, I had an enormous collection. It was just too many. And what I did is I put them all in a box. And then every time I had friends over, I'd say, just help yourself if you want one and take it home. Because there's just no way I could have had all of them. I mean, if they were really, if they were nice ones, I'd keep them. But I mean, most of the ones that I had duplicates of or whatever, I'd just give away.
Yeah. And also they don't last forever. It's not like a bayonet.
That's true. CliffCentral.com.